and it's just not showing up. And this would be like the best sports talk. Also, we're back.
We're back now.
We're back. Little glitch. I don't know if anyone could hear anything that was going on there before. I hope not, because it was riveting conversation while Jordan figured out what button to press. But no, so what I was saying was I was trying to think of, I don't even remember why we missed last week. Was it because of stuff?
Well, it was Christmas Eve was Monday, and that's when we usually do it.
Yeah. Yep.
Christmas Eve was Monday. David added another to the family. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. What else happened here?
Bengals won. Yeah.
Against the Raiders.
Yes. The powerful Raiders who defeated the Steelers the week prior.
Fluke game.
So any big takeaways from that game?
Not really. Like, to be honest, like, okay, I will say that the only thing that like I've been preaching for a long time was give Joe Mixon the ball.
Yeah.
And I think that was his best game of the year. I think he had almost like, I don't know, I want to say like 28, 25 carries, and like he just took over the game essentially. Like, I don't know. When you can run the ball, you have so much more control over how the game's played.
Yeah. So how many carries or touches did he get officially? Do you know?
I can look it up real quick.
Because I, like, heading into that game, didn't his carries have gone up exponentially, right?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, let's see. He had 27 carries and 2 catches, which didn't match much. But that was the most. 27 carries, 129 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Has he been catching the ball more than you thought or less than you
thought? Less, because I don't know. Like, I don't know what defines as a bell cow back in this era anymore, because every time there's like anything that's like third and we might pass, like third and 5 or more, they take him out and they put Gio in. And I've always said I have no problem with Gio, but I just think Joe Mixon's better.
True.
I
don't think anybody would fight you on that. And I would even think keeping Joe Mixon in would put a bigger question mark on the defense in terms of what you're going to do.
I agree.
Even though on 3rd and 5, they know he's going out for a swing pass, but, or whatever.
He's always been, I mean, that was one of his things when he was coming out of college. Like, he was pretty highly touted as overall.
Yeah.
Really good back. But, I mean, that's just the thing I'm just looking at right now is how do these guys look going into next year? Like, kind of getting to see some of the younger guys do some stuff when it doesn't matter right now at all.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, Boyd's out. It's just, it's stupid.
So your wide receivers are Cody Core,
John Ross. Alex Erickson,
Auden Tate,
CJ Uzomah. Auden Tate, I think, has been out there since like in the 2 weeks that Tyler Boyd's been out. I think that Auden Tate's maybe been out there like 5 or 10
and
times.
John Ross is probably the only one that kind of shined through that.
John Ross has actually like been awesome. Like, as far as touchdowns goes, like all of his other numbers are like really, really low.
Yeah.
But I think he's got, for the season, he's got 20 catches, 209 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Last year, Tyler Boyd had almost exactly those same numbers except for just 2 touchdowns. So I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of people on Bengals Twitter who get all bent out of shape about John Ross. And I'm like, let's just calm down. And I don't know. I feel like just because he's fast, they try and do gimmicky stuff with it. Like every time he's thrown a deep route, it's like
something's still wrong. Like that 7 touchdowns still doesn't make sense.
It's because it's all red zone. Almost all those, like, he only has like 2 deep touchdowns.
Yeah.
But whenever they go deep to him, I think his catch percentage is like 50.
Whose fault's that?
I don't know. I mean, I'd say sometimes it's his because he's been a little notorious for giving up on routes, like he doesn't think the ball's coming his way, and then Dalton will throw it there, and there's no one there but a safety. And there's other times where Dalton or Driscoll just screws it up. Like that Raiders game, every throw Driscoll threw, like, it was ridiculous. Was like every miss was high. It was crazy. Yeah.
Too excited.
I guess. Yeah. I was really kind of hoping, like, I don't know, secretly that maybe be like, hey, maybe we found something.
Just no, you don't want you don't want Jeff Driscoll to be your answer. Even if he did show you something, it would be like, okay, maybe next year we'll give him 2 years, and then you're 2 years behind. Yeah.
But I don't know. It's one of those things we were talking about like before the show where you look at the draft now that the kid from Oregon's out, Herbert, and it's, I don't know, this draft class looks kind of lame.
Yeah, I mean, it's a draft class you don't want a quarterback in. I guess you don't want to be needy, quarterback needy, which I don't know if you guys are yet.
I don't think
I mean, you're in a better position than, like,
but,
Giants.
Mean, Haskins hasn't came out and said that he's going.
That's big. But if he comes out, there's no chance.
I was going to say, you guys probably won't even have a shot at him.
There's a lot of teams ahead of us that would need
him. You'll be, like, what, 12-ish?
They, as of right now, depending on what happens tomorrow, I think Joe Goodberry tweeted that we have a chance between being between 16 and 9.
Tomorrow.
Or Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah. I got my day screwed up. It's Thursday.
9, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
That's where we were last year, I think, when we got John Ross.
Yeah, but I feel like the Giants... Jaguars would be before you.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who take a quarterback. I just feel like this year's really setting up for the Bengals to make really dumb excuses to not make any changes. Or towards the end of the year, like, they could make the argument to keep Marvin and be like, well, there's been a lot of injuries. You know, they've played kind of tough
to end the year. Did you see the reports of, like, possibly your next coaching staff?
Yes, I did. Did you see my Christmas Eve tweet about it?
Maybe.
I just did, like, a Christmas, not a Christmas story. What is it?
Was it Mike McCarthy coming or no?
No,
or,
it was,
Grinch?
It was the Scrooge story where I was like, if this, like, because they're talking about Vance Joseph, yeah, right, as the defensive coordinator, Hugh Jackson as offensive coordinator, Marvin Lewis as the head coach.
And you know, one of them, probably for a year, right? And then one of those guys would be your head coach.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's the thing. And it's, I basically just tweeted that, like, hopefully Mike Brown would be visited by one ghost and it would be Paul Brown,
yeah,
and then just slap him in the face. Or he'd be visited by the ghost of the past, present, and the future, which is Marvin three times,
yeah,
and nothing changes.
No. Such a good tweet.
It's just that's so horrible. Like, everything is setting up so perfectly for them to make the excuses they want to make to keep them.
The thing is like, whatever way you guys look at, like, even Marvin leaves, if he leaves after this season, like, you guarantee it's going to be Hugh Jackson, probably.
There's a good chance. I think that's the thing that sucks and is scary. I don't like the fact that towards the end of the season or after the game Sunday, like, I feel like the guillotine should be dropped. But yeah, in reality, it's going to be like, well, we're going to sit and wait for a while. We're going to have Marvin and Mark are going to talk, and they're going
to. So you guys are going to, you know, piddle foot around. Then you guys ain't going to get a jump on any good coaches. No.
Did they announce last year of the extension? Was it like 2 or 3 weeks?
They did that same thing where they're like, well, Marvin's going to decide on his future.
Yeah.
And then they talked. It was like it was at least 1 or 2 weeks, yeah, before the information came out that second year. But the thing that makes me nervous about that.
I mean, it was like, I don't think there was even any leaks of that information. No. It was like one day, they're like, hey, in 2 hours, yeah, they're going to announce.
It's like they talked about it, then they waited until the next day, yeah, then boom, and it was like.
Because everyone for like a week and a half was like, when are they going to fire
him? Right.
Or when he's going to step down.
Like, that rumor that came out about Vance Joseph and Hugh and Marvin was from Dave Lapham, who's, yeah, the Bengals color commentator. And the thing that makes me nervous is that Dave Lapham knows stuff. Like, when it comes to the draft, like, he's been right of our first round draft pick like 10 years in a row.
Yeah.
Like, just because he hears stuff in the building. And that's what makes me nervous.
Nathan Zegar is like for the Browns.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't want to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't think the team, the player, the roster needs a clean sweep. I just think the entire coaching staff just needs a fresh start. And I don't think that Mike Brown
would. You keep anybody on your roster or your coaching staff?
No. Clean house.
Chop and block.
Because one, if there's any extra players, like, they're, whenever those new regimes comes in, they're not tied to any of those players that they get.
Yeah.
So if there's any players that are questionable, like a Dalton and maybe some other guys, some offensive line guys like Bobby Hart. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like a whole new regime to come in and then maybe they can clean the roster up a little bit. But I don't think we're going to do that.
Even like who's the Bengals ESPN writer? It's a woman.
Oh gosh. I have no idea. I know Jane writes for the Inquirer.
She just had an article yesterday or today about the Bengals free agents and who they might. Not the free agents of other teams, but your potential free agents and who they might re-sign. And
oh, yeah.
It was like I saw maybe one. I didn't read the whole thing, just kind of saw the names and her instant analysis, but maybe one name. And you have a lot of offensive lines, like Cedric Abuehi, who's the kid from Oregon, Fisher.
Yeah, Jake Fisher.
Jake Fisher, Bobby Hart, Alex Redman, Trey Hopkins.
Yep.
And then it was like, Darquez Dennard was like the only person I was like, okay, they might re-sign him.
Yeah.
And he might not even want to just because he wants to be a starting cornerback and not a nickel.
Right.
And there's no space. So that's even unfortunate. Like, you probably even have the money to give him, but he's like, I don't want to be a nickel. I want to be
right
on outside.
And he should. Like, I think he's shown in his Pro Football Focus stats show that he's better than Dre. But I just think with the way the Bengals are, like, they always give those vets benefit of the doubt before anyone who's behind them. It's been like that all year. The guys are, I don't know. They have this mentality, if you put your time in, so you're going to play. And one thing I don't like,
I mean, he's like a, what, 3 or 4 year vet now.
Yeah, I know. And the thing that you talk about, like, with Bobby Hart, like Christian Westerman, who we drafted like 2 years, same year we drafted Tyler Boyd as a guard in the third round. He had to play for Bobby Hart or Redmond, who, like, both those guys combined probably have more penalties than all offensive line in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
Like, played horrendously. Westerman come in for, like, an entire game and played better than they did the entire season. And then the second Bobby Hart's healthy again, they put Bobby Hart back in. I don't understand the logic. Like, there's no point. Like, Westerman's a guy who could play next year, like, get him some playing time when these games don't really mean, like, they don't matter. Yeah. It's just so frustrating. And the thing that's even more frustrating is watching you guys do all the right stuff. When you guys aren't, like, it's still...
I don't know about all the right
stuff. No, but, like, you're making, like, I don't know. It's just, like, you're giving... I just...
But you're picking...
You got these young players and you're letting them play.
You're picking the right people, like, to, like, kind of take over, I guess, what he's saying. Like, well, I guess we'll see you with your new coach that you pick.
We will see.
Yeah. But, like, you know, your GM, he seems to be, you know...
Yeah.
Doing what he's supposed to be doing. Bring in
John Dorsey.
Bring the talent, you know, in there to make a team, you know, win games and everything. So it'll be kind of interesting to see who you guys take, you know, as your
coach. I mean, it's probably, you know, I think the two biggest tasks will kind of transition here to Browns Bengals.
See, I'm kind of happy that the Titans did what they did last year. Like, you know, we had a winning season, we went to the playoffs for the first time and like,
Well,
8 years, and we just, like, told our coach, like, change some of your coaches or you're gone. And he said, I don't want to fire any of them. So I felt like last year's, like, coaching, I guess, pool was a little bit bigger than this year, but I could be wrong. So I was happy with
I haven't really heard a lot of names yet.
Yeah.
But I think
the Bengals are just open coaching spots.
I mean, like, I guess maybe because I'm probably just focused more on the Bengals, but I don't know. I have, like, what are, like, is there, like, a 5 or 6 names out there of guys?
I mean, there's not very much, like, right now, but I feel like there's just going to be, like, some random people, like, you know, like, an offense coordinator, like, a team's going to be like, hey, you want to be a coach?
Well,
like, oh, yeah.
So far, Mike McCarthy probably just somebody.
Yeah.
There's there's heavy smoke in New York for the Jets for Jim Harbaugh.
Really?
Yeah. So a lot of people are saying that that might happen.
He'll handle it well.
Josh McDaniels possibly to the Packers.
He's one that I've wanted the Bengals to get kind of for a while.
But, you know,
I just feel like
he's an oddball.
He's staying there until
he was with Denver.
Belichick's gone.
He's with Denver. And like, he was essentially with Indianapolis last year for like a day.
He said that he was going to go. The next thing you know, is like, no. So I feel like, all right, you had to start it. You had a head coaching job. Then
with Andrew Luck.
With Andrew Luck, you know, then you just back out of it just like that. So I feel like he's got some ties into New England where he's going to be the next head coach there.
Yeah, you would think.
Otherwise, why do that?
I mean, who knows? Obviously, we don't know, but.
Who else was I thinking of?
Like, what about the college guys?
Well, Lincoln Riley just said today that he's going to stay at Oklahoma. At his first championship press conference. So again, that's like, that could be just him trying to shut up
while they're still playing.
Like, so you're
not going to know from any of these college guys.
The college guys, if they're in the Final Four or the playoffs, you ain't going to know until, obviously, you know, Saban ain't going to go nowhere.
Right.
And then
I would think it's either Lincoln Riley, there's Matt Campbell, the dude from Iowa State, who just signed an extension to. But again, that's just like them, a desperate stay here.
Please God.
And Jim Harbaugh are kind of the three names I have. There's a special teams coordinator out of Kansas City, Dave Taub.
I've heard of him.
Who people like, who says that he deserves to be head coach. So that's who. So Tony Grossi has a quarterback, or not quarterback tracker, a coaching tracker ever since we fired Hugh of like, the 5 to 10 names of, and he gives them like points and ranks them of possibility to coach the Browns. And that's who was at the top until Monday, until like the game was over on Sunday. Right. And now I think Greg either Greg Williams or Freddie Kitchens at the top. But
that's what I was watching that game this past Sunday. I watched it with my dad, and there was a lot of arguing back and forth between the two of us about certain things. I don't know. Do you want to go to break real quick before we talk about Browns, Bengals?
Let's
stuff?
Go to break. Let's cover the Browns and the Broncos.
Okay.
Browns won, and the Broncos lost. It was a good game, fun game to watch. Prime time Saturday night.
Yeah.
Not too much takeaway. I don't really have anything from that game besides
tough place to play.
Tough place to play. I think our offense, you know, we had a big drive. We had a big, like, three plays where we were down, like, 16 to 10. And then our defense got a turnover, probably, like, the 50-yard line midfield. And then we kind of drove down. That's where Baker, like, switched the play and did, like, a three-yard slant to Antonio Callaway, which was kind of overanalyzed. But
I saw that video where that guy broke down that play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which those are always fun to watch, but overall, that was a fun game. That was probably, you know, we're on a three game win streak. We won five out of the last six, but again, that's probably the best team we played. This Ravens team or game on Sunday will be interesting. But yeah, let's go to break, and then we'll kind of come back and cover Browns Bengals.
All right, we'll do that. We'll be back in a bit.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
You tried the new smoked meats at Wayne Street Market? Stop in and check them out. They have their delicious oversized smoked chicken leg quarters every day, and you might find some smoked brisket or ribs and more. Just stop by the deli and pick out what you want, add a couple of sides, and you'll have a great meal in a minute. And if you want larger quantities of their smoked meat without all the time and hassle of making it yourself, just call them 48 hours ahead of time at 375-2865, and they'll have it ready for you to pick up when you want it. Wayne Street Market, call them at 375-2865. Our Indians teams each have a basketball game coming up this weekend. Tomorrow, the boys will host the Greenville Green Wave. Fort Recovery Radio will bring you the JV game at 6 o'clock. Then we'll simulcast WPGW's coverage of the varsity game. Then on Saturday, the girls will host the Jay County Lady Patriots with the JV game starting at noon. We'll simulcast WPGW's coverage of both the JV and varsity games. One game each for our Indians teams this weekend. Boys host Greenville tomorrow night, then the girls host Jay County at noon on Saturday. Do all you can to get to the games to help cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
So my heater wasn't heating. My friend Tom said I should switch to gas, but Larry suggested I go with a dual fuel furnace. Then Martin said I should use heat from the ground. Geothermally called it. Then my wife said, just call Reasoner. Sure enough, Reasoner Energy had them all. Train high efficiency dual fuel heat pumps, furnaces, and an amazing geothermal heat pump. Reasoner took a look at our place, and the next thing you know, we're all cozy and warm. Go ahead and talk to your friends, but make sure you also talk to my friends at Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Call in. Number's 419-516-0702. And as promised, I want to talk about Browns Bengals because I don't think my dad's listening to this, but we got into it a little bit watching that game where, one, I got into an argument with him. Not as big as the one at the end of the game, the stare down. But
that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Was I don't think you guys are going to hire Greg Williams. We were arguing about that before the game.
Because
I feel like you talked about that before, and I feel like I buy into what you were saying as far as, like, they're just, like, loose right now. There's no, I don't know. I don't know how much he's doing. I think Freddie Kitchens is probably doing more.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's why they're even saying, I don't think they will. I think that's just too much, think it's not even, not too safe, but that's just like putting off a decision.
Right.
That's like keeping Hugh Jackson a year longer than what you wanted to.
Kind of.
But yeah, you know, I think our schedule was a lot lighter in the back half. They're playing looser. They have kind of nothing to lose attitude. And yeah, I think the majority of our successes come because of our offense and the change between, you know, from Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley to Freddie Kitchens. So I think even the talk has switched from, do we just make Freddie Kitchens, who is getting along really well and has a nice chemistry, like him. They basically say him as in Freddie Kitchens, Baker Mayfield, Drew Staton. And when Freddie Kitchens moved to the offensive coordinator, he hired Ryan Lindley.
Yeah.
Do you remember Ryan Lindley as the running back coach, mm-hmm. who's actually probably doesn't do anything with the running backs,
right.
and just is another like quarterback to help out with the room. Yeah. They said those four guys are pretty tight and have a like good chemistry and kind of talk about the game plans throughout the game and the week. So I even, you know, they're saying, do we just make Freddie Kitchens? Because I think the consensus is that Freddie Kitchens will probably stay in some capacity, mm-hmm. if not hired by somebody else, you know, as long as he becomes an offense coordinator.
Right.
But again, it's like, unless we maybe get our number one pick for the head coach, who I don't know who that is, and he wants to clean house, they'll probably say, okay, do that.
Yeah.
Or if we get maybe like a defensive minded head coach, which I don't think there's that many, they'll probably just say, try to keep Freddie Kitchens. But, you know, I mean, Freddie Kitchens might be a guy who's a year away just from what I'm hearing in my sources.
Yeah.
Is like a year away just because of the offensive concepts and the stuff he's shown.
Right.
He's like a year away from becoming a head coach. So, like, do we make him a head coach a year or two early or lose him? But again, it's like, you know, in September, this guy was just a running backs coach. And are we trying to, like,
put a puzzle piece in that doesn't fit?
Yeah. Based off of this run here.
Before the game, didn't they say that he never called like an NFL play before?
No, he never called a play. You know, he called the fourth preseason game. Mm-hmm. That was really the only experience he had calling plays. You know, he was with Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
He was like the quarterback coach for like Carson Palmer and all that for Bruce Arians.
But he's a good guy to learn under.
Yeah, so. And obviously, I don't think it made a difference. I think you know the plays and you know the offense. Being, you know, he's been in the NFL for like 20 plus years.
Right.
But so I still think they do everything they can to get, you know, their top one or two, three guys, whatever.
For sure. I just think like that's probably a pretty good
backup plan.
Yeah. If something falls through with like you're one number one, number two guy, you're not going to be like out of luck, because I think if you guys don't keep Freddie Kitchens, I'm for sure he'll get a job somewhere.
Yeah, I think so too. And I guess that's the only good thing. Some people are saying we're in a bad position, but I think it's a good position to have possibly two candidates. To, if we don't feel like there's a good candidate out there, if we don't get the person,
right?
Then we say, okay, let's run it back a year or two. But again, it's like,
it's been a long time.
It's been a long time, and like
you can taste it.
These next 4 years with Baker on a rookie contract are like
those are like
why
so huge.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about that.
It's like it's when you make a run. It's like now or
because you can never. Pay other guys now while Baker's under his rookie contract.
Yeah.
If he keeps playing the way he's playing, he's eventually going to sign some kind of super deal.
Yeah, and we're gonna have back to back years of trying to keep Miles, who will probably have, you know, a $90 million plus contract, and then Baker who have 120 plus, whatever it is at that time.
When you have that rookie quarterback on that rookie deal, that's the window.
Yeah.
Like, right. It's tough.
So it'll be interesting. I don't know. I am on the side of let's try to get somebody else.
Yeah. You get somebody, and if you don't, then you still have Freddie Kitchens, and then you might be in the situation you would have been in anyway.
Yeah.
And he still could be good. I mean, it's been pretty impressive what he's done versus what it was before him.
Yeah. And, yeah, so I don't know why we're having this much success, but I guess, you know, it's a combo of the offense and the schedule and Pugh not being, I guess everyone just being a little bit more loose and stuff, so I don't know, but.
I don't know. I feel like, I feel like it wouldn't be hard to lure someone you want, because as much as it pains me to say, because I hate you guys, but it's a pretty appealing looking job.
I think we have, with if not the top, you know, behind it, Green Bay, the most attractive job.
Oh, for sure.
I haven't heard most analysts or, you know, media people say the same thing. So
it's going to be, like I said, I'm going to call it now. It's going to be super annoying next year when they're doing predictions of playoffs. And
if we beat the Ravens,
the hype is going to be unreal. It's going to be ridiculous. And yeah, it's going to drive me crazy. And day one, when we come in here, I'm going to be on a rampage.
It will be unreal. So that'll be fun. But okay, Browns, Bengals.
Yeah, I mean,
what's your outside of arguing with your dad on who will coach? What's your thoughts on the Bengals side of things?
I don't know. Like, it's at this point, like, I just kind of want to see, like I said before in the last game, I just want to see the young guys get opportunities. And they didn't really do that. Like Malik Jefferson, one of the guys I talked about at the beginning of your guy I liked.
Yeah,
we were in the exact situation this year to give him some playing time as we did Nick Vigil when he was a rookie. And what they do is they just put him on IR and he's done for the season. I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're not going to see him.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't know what, if he had any kind of injuries or anything like that, but it's like, I just know that like Jordan Evans is one of the like lowest graded linebackers in the entire NFL. I'm like, could Malik Jefferson literally be any worse than the lowest graded linebacker in the NFL?
Yeah. You would think NFL coaches are smart enough to tell that throughout the week. I mean, because they play Jesse Bates, right? Yeah. He's a rookie.
And that's the one thing that was so absurd that like shocked me, is that we got rid of Iloka to give Jesse Bates playing time, which is so not a Bengals thing to do.
Yeah.
But they did it, and I was like, okay, well, maybe stuff's changing, and that was literally kind of the only thing.
Well, and it's nice to see Sam Hubbard get playing time. I think they're playing him more. So, yeah, you know, if that was a person who is producing and he's not getting enough playing time, that would be really frustrating. But it seems like he's playing a lot of snaps.
Oh, yeah. He's if he gets a sack Sunday, he'll be second or third all-time, or second or third highest sack total for a rookie in Bengals history, which I think he's got.
Justin Smith?
Yeah.
Is he number one?
He might be. I think he's maybe had like nine and a half, and I think Sam Hubbard's got like 7.5, something like that. Because
yeah,
like Bengals Twitter blows up all the time about how like, why doesn't he start over Michael Johnson? And I'm like,
it doesn't matter who starts.
It doesn't, because yeah, like I said, I always talk about Joe Goodberry. If any Bengals fan should follow him, because he breaks down all the film and stuff after the games. But Sam Hubbard plays more snaps. So it's like,
who cares? I think some of that, and I don't know this at all, but I would think some of it might be coaches doing players a favor in terms of like incentives.
Well, and Michael Johnson, like, I can't remember exactly how it played out at the beginning of the year. Do you remember? But we cut him so we could sign someone or something, and then we signed him back.
Yeah.
So like, and he's been with us forever. Like, he was 1 year in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
When he had off of his huge year.
Yeah, he made that huge contract with Tampa.
And then we got him for like a massive discount the next year.
It's funny.
But I don't know. But going back to the game, I mean, my takeaways are just frustration. Like, I'm so done with Vontaze.
Yeah, I had a note on Vontaze. First of all, he's just not producing that
much. He's not producing. He's still being...
He's not really... Well, this year, he hasn't been even close to as good as he's been in the past. Then I saw the video where he's walking off the field with a trainer.
Yeah.
And, like, they're telling him to go to, like, the blue tent. He just shoves his arm out while he's being a big baby.
He's had 7 concussions.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That is kind of like...
That's enough to where you should start...
That's Lawrence Taylor in any given Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, hey, you shouldn't play or else you'll die. Basically, he's like, dude, I got
to
play.
It's enough to
let me on the field, coach.
Contemplating he's being retired or being cut.
He should retire.
Like, he's... like Lance McAllister, like, well,
if he don't retire, the Browns should cut, or not the Browns.
Football's in his blood.
The Bengals should cut him, because all these people, like he's done.
When you watch the film, just single out Vontaze and watch him. They're like, it's embarrassing. So I'm just saying, we have some younger linebackers who I'm just like, why? Like, our guys in front of him are so embarrassing. Like we are historically third down defense, like one of the worst this year, one of the worst in NFL history. Third down percentage. Like, that's ridiculous. But, I mean, the whole Vontaze thing, like, I saw a lot of players were defending him. They're like, man, you know, he just wants to play. And I'm like, okay, well, he doesn't have to be, like, a jerk all the time. Like,
don't be a jerk.
Yeah, but, like, he's not
changing the game, him being out
Before you could
just because he wants to play doesn't mean
you could tolerate his, I'm going to say, quote unquote, shenanigans of basically him trying to like twist ankles and stuff because he was good.
Yeah.
But when he's playing like so slow and so horrible, like remember, like, I don't know if you saw like when he dove at Duke Johnson. It was either Duke Johnson or Nick Chubb. You guys were on the goal line and the play like was literally over and whoever it was starting to get up. And the next thing you know, you see Vontaze like diving in at the head. I'm like, okay, well, like, I hope they fine you all your money. That
it's unbelievable, like, all the stuff, like, all the dirty plays he does, and it's like the Browns or the Bengals just kind of like, oh, I didn't see that. Like, they just close their eyes and, like, just let him do all this. Just Vontaze being Vontaze. Like, anywhere else, it'd be like, no, it's you're
Taz being Taz.
Yeah, it is. And it drives me crazy. Like, most mock drafts I've actually looked at have had us taking, like, Mac Wilson or
LSU linebacker.
Which would be nice. Yeah. I would take any, like, literally anyone. Nick Vigil's our best linebacker. And yeah. That's about it.
My only thing with linebackers is that I think they're one of the least valuable players, and you could usually find some pretty good ones middle rounds.
Mm-hmm. Like, we've done that. We've been historically pretty good at that, but now it's just, I don't know. It's
a unless there's, like, a home run, like a Jalen Smith or somebody, like, and, you know, I guess you don't know because first round's always a crapshoot, but
it all depends.
You know, or you could get like a Keith Rivers or Marquise Mingo.
Yeah. It goes to your coaching staff. Like we picked Rashawn Evans first round last year, and like beginning he was hurt. Then he kind of came back. They had him on a snap count. Then when he was out there, he just kind of looked like he was behind. Well, obviously you think, you know, he's a rookie. He's been hurt the first part. Then you throw him out there, then he's not used to speed. But lately,
well, that
Jaguars Thursday night Jaguars game, like that's when he like came out and like he's shown like his future.
Why he drafts him?
His future looks very promising.
Like,
sometimes
it takes a little bit for those guys to catch up. Like, I mean, other examples. Like, I thought for sure, like a Rolando McClain was a lock to be like a perennial like all pro linebacker. Yeah. And then who's the guy that's with that Baltimore got now? He's pretty from the Alabama.
No,
I can't remember his name, which is dumb, but he's good.
Yeah, who is it?
Oh, I was hoping
he's kind of more outside-ish.
Yeah. But like he, like, cause they did they draft Rolando McClain?
He is good. Who
was it Baltimore?
That I thought it was Oakland.
Oh, was it Oakland? I know he bounced like to Baltimore and he went to like Dallas. But either way, like I've seen a lot of like linebacker stuff in the first round, and that, like you said, that I feel like that's more of a crapshoot than almost any other position sometimes in the first round.
That Van Der Esch from Cowboys, he's been good too.
He looks like a classic.
Oh yeah,
like a Matt Wilhelm.
The neck brace or whatever. Really just like
he just came right out of the 90s and just appeared into 2018 to play linebacker for the Cowboys. But I mean, I don't know what were you. I mean, I just watched
CJ Mosley.
There you go. Yep. I was just watching that Bengals-Browns game with, like, zero expectations, just hoping to see flashes from certain guys. And John Ross did have a nice touchdown, but then, like, we're down by, like, three scores, and he's doing, like, a little dance.
CJ Uzomah had a nice touchdown.
Yeah, and I'm like, don't do a dance when you're down, like, two touchdowns. Just don't.
Yeah, I mean, late in the game, you guys kind of making a short run.
Yeah, like, it was, we brought it within eight.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, basically a score at the end of the game, but... I don't know. Like, I feel like since they've had Driscoll, they're so confined to him in the first quarter, and then we get down like significantly. And they're like, hey, maybe we should open him up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, on the other side of the field was the Browns. So this was our third win in a row, which is a nice. It's been fun. It's just so new. I think the whole city of Cleveland and the whole fan base is just like elated right now. Like, even after the game, you could see the players just jumping in the jog pound. And
yeah. Like, because what they always talk about, like, there was always the monkey on the back of not having the championship, and then the Cavs did that. But this year, like, since LeBron's left, like, everybody, all I hear is, like, it's a football town. Like,
yeah.
The Browns are over everything.
They took, after LeBron left, like, I think a lot of the people from Cleveland were like, all right, he brought a championship to Cleveland. All right, he's gone now.
Just see the madness.
Now it's kind of like, all right, we're football. We're in on the Browns.
I think if the Browns are good long enough, like, the city of Cleveland could be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, if we went to the playoffs this year, it would have been a complete mess.
Like cars being flipped. Like, yeah. I imagine stuff like that. Like a couple bars burned down.
Yeah, I mean, even the whole stadium was chanting Baker, and you could hear it on your TV.
Oh, you could yeah. hear it like big time,
which has to be loud. Like usually, you know, people may be at the game, they're chanting Baker, but you can't hear some like, stuff like that.
You
at
could
the game.
Hear it before the commentators. Like acknowledged remarked it.
Yeah. But, you know, just overall, I think I'm kind of with you. I mean, this game, I wasn't honestly too scared. I don't think anybody.
You guys were already eliminated by that point, right?
We were because Baltimore won.
Titans won on Saturday. Yeah. That eliminated them right away.
Well, and then Baltimore.
Yeah.
Wasn't the Baltimore win was the thing that officially eliminated us.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Titans didn't help. Either. But like, yeah, I mean, just the Bengals roster is depleted. So I would have liked to like have done that to a full roster. Mm-hmm. But even like your defense isn't that injured, maybe one or two players.
The secondary, no. The defensive line is pretty well. I mean, there's a handful of guys. There's like two or three guys on the defensive line who probably make some difference, yeah. but. Oh, the main thing is the linebackers. Like, even if they're not, like, injured, they're just terrible.
Yeah. So, anyway, a good win. Third win in a row. Five out of last six. Five out of last seven, essentially, since Hugh Jackson was fired. Our loss is coming to the Chiefs. That first week, we never would have won that game against the Chiefs, who were hot, and we were just coming off... he being fired, and I think we lost like four or five in a row. But, you know, since then, I think, again, like we mentioned before, you know, there's been steam and smoke around. Like, do we keep Greg? You know, he's kind of, everyone kind of said, you know, if he wins like five or six games of these last, you know, eight or whatever, right. then maybe. So I think this Baltimore game coming up is honestly big. I think if we come out and we're good and we win, I don't want to jump to Baltimore already, but then there's probably, I might seriously think, okay, maybe we do.
Keep Greg.
Because Baltimore is one of the hottest teams right now.
They are.
I think they've won five games in a row.
Five in a row, because I saw the tweet of like they officially announced that they were going to keep Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And since then, they've won five straight.
Yeah. You know, and their defense is number one defense in the league. So I think if our offense produces it, you know, I think momentum goes to next year, carries over to next year, and then maybe we do try to keep some coaches around, but that's good. But John Dorsey, again, I think this draft class has been so far a home run. Baker Mayfield looks to be panning out. Denzel Ward kind of sucks.
The injuries
suck, and he's had two concussions in 3 weeks, which isn't good.
And when
that was like instantly.
I was like, he doesn't know where he's at. Yeah. Like I joke about, like, hey, I gotta know where he's at, but like Denzel did not know where he was.
Like Nathan Zagura, who does.
It was almost like he didn't get hit in the head, though. It was more like
that hard. I feel like he got rattled so hard, but when he like just kind of crumpled to the ground.
Yeah. Well, yeah. After the impact, he couldn't even get up and sit up. So I was like, wow, he.
Zagura, who does our sideline reporting and also the Cleveland Browns radio show on a daily basis, said he was right in front of the play and said as soon as it happened, he said he's never seen anyone look that out of it. Like that, he's like, as soon as it happened, he was not in the stadium.
Yeah,
a
lot of people with concussions, like they can stand and like sit, be there and kind of try to act normal so they can still play. Like he was, he couldn't even stand up.
So that's, I mean, you know, outside of that, I mean, he's a Pro Bowl corner. I mean, he's a first team Pro Bowler.
You guys legitimately had a shot at having like a Saints scenario last year.
Yeah.
With the offensive and defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he was trying to not be in, you know, I think with
Darius Leonard,
even Leighton Vanderesh, who's Derwin James, I think might win it.
Yeah.
But
you don't
those
think
three,
Leonard will?
Not really. All those, you know, now season predictions are coming out. A lot of them have Derwin James.
Really?
But
it's between both of them. Like, a lot of people hear about Leonard, but, like, if you actually look at James's, like, numbers, like, he has a legitimate shot of winning it, too.
So, and he was one of those guys, it always happens, and it's who I kind of want or what I kind of want to happen. It's like if you look at a mock draft as soon as like, you know, the 2019 draft's over, it will be really good players and some of them won't have that good of years and they'll drop.
Yeah.
Like, you know, right after the last draft, the 2017 draft, Derwin James is like a top four pick
because
he was so good. And then he had kind of a down year because Florida State kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And then he dropped to like 15 or wherever they got him.
Yep.
And it's just like, there's always a few of those players who are just good and they just have just not that of a good senior year.
Yeah.
Like even Ed Oliver is kind of like that. Like he was a lock to be a top two pick. Now he might be like a five to 10 maybe. Yeah. And it's like that dude will be good and someone's going to follow him. Even like DeAndre Baker, like a cornerback from George, it was kind of like, he's like a top five pick last year. Now it's like maybe it'll be like 15 to 20. And so, but anyway.
Where you can kind of, you can like swipe some of those guys later.
And it's really, like those type of guys like really change the draft too because like, you know, there's a lot of teams like, oh, I won't have a shot to get him or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it gets closer and closer and like, oh, okay. So,
the whole Denzel thing's concerning. Like that's career ending stuff. If like,
he's got to figure out how to tackle tight ends differently.
If he keeps on doing that,
Just like don't go up high. And both his concussions have been because he went high, which Greg Williams has told him not to do. So just dive. I think it helps that he's not a linebacker.
Yeah.
And, you know, cornerbacks just like just dive at everyone's knees, even though it sucks. Just do it because you won't get concussions. So I hope that pans out, but that's kind of concerning. And then who else? Nick Chubb has been a really nice, not even surprised, but like one of the top graded running backs in the league since he's been starting. Like the first 6 weeks, he had like 15 carries.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable.
And like, it'll be interesting that I think people will probably recognize him at the airport now. I don't know if you remember.
Maybe. Yeah.
I felt so bad for him. Like, everybody's like, Baker. He's like, oh, cool. Hey, you play football?
Yeah.
I got drafted by the Browns. And now he's like, you could make the argument like,
I don't know if he moved that far. He's like, hey, you play football? I don't even have like, I don't know.
It was really an awkward exchange. Like, there's just like one.
Hey, football players,
yeah. And then the guy's like, cool.
Like, everyone who says and says he's kind of no nonsense, that's just.
He seems like
that. There's not much personality. He's just kind of like, put your head down and.
Which is fine.
Which is fine.
For your running back, it doesn't have to
go
be
for
flash.
It.
Just head down, go forward. But, like, he had a nice game. I'm just looking at your guys' stats. Like, 19 for 112. That's like almost 6 yards a carry.
Yeah, I think he's. I mean, he broke Trent Richardson's rookie rushing record for the Browns.
He's got 972 right now.
Yeah, so I think, you know,
eight touchdowns.
28 puts him over 1,000, so.
He'll probably get that against Baltimore. Well, you never know.
Last game against Baltimore, he had 3 for like 2 yards. Yeah, so we'll see.
But Baker's numbers look great. 27 for 37, 284, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Jarvis Landry, 1 for 1.
Really?
Yeah. Did you remember that pass he had to
I do remember
Perriman?
That. Yeah. Yeah, 63 yards. Oh, I thought he was talking about his catches. I was like,
no, okay. No, yeah. He was
passing.
I was just looking at the quarterback stats. Yeah. He's on there. He dropped that in a bucket.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
And I don't know if you saw the clip of him, of our lineman being mic'd up.
Yeah.
But I think it was like Joel Petonio or might have been like JC Charter saying, hey, this play's going to work.
I thought it was Baker.
No, he's telling Baker. He's like, Baker, this play's going to work. And Baker's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then it happened. And
they're like, we're mic'd up. So if it works, it's going to be on there. If it doesn't, they're not going to show it. Yeah. I'm just laughing because he's like, what?
So that was fun to watch.
What were your thoughts real quick on when Carlos Dunlap pushed Baker Mayfield out of bounds when there was like that big tussle? Because
I don't think there's anything wrong in terms of what.
Because I just think like.
Carlos did.
I think what happened was, I don't know if Baker was fired up for the first down or that he got pushed out of bounds, but he got up real quick. And Carlos didn't have a chance to get off him. So it kind of looked like he was pushing him out. All I know is that there's a ton of people on Twitter, and I just want to tell everyone to shut up.
Okay.
I'm
I
like,
heard you.
Carlos is not one of those guys that where he, like, he's.
I don't even think that was it. I think regardless of if it was late or not.
I get the whole, like, protecting your quarterback.
It was just a thing to where they finally have a quarterback in the line. They're like, this is our guy.
I get it. And also, I also wanted to speak to is, I don't want next year to be. I'm already tired of waking up dangerous, and
I don't think it will be.
And I'm already tired of the drums.
Yeah, that's probably going to stay because he does it every game.
Oh my God, like I held back so many tweets because I start typing something. And I'm like, what's the point? Like, this is not going to be. Yeah. I'm going to get made fun of. But like, I think like
Baker Army is going to be all over your butt.
Like Bron. Bronny tweeted something about, I don't know, it's either Bronny or Cody, where it, like, they quote tweeted that
those
video
two,
of them.
Those two are
like,
going
Browns by 100. I'm like,
those two will be, maybe. Those two will be down. The worst ones that, like, because they go
I'm,
hard.
Like, I did tweet, I'm glad you guys have your franchise quarterback. That's fantastic.
First go hard.
But let's just,
no, like Bronny and Cody, like yeah. they go like 100% on like just
like I could fully admit right now, Bronny is probably 90% of the reasons why I hate the Browns so much.
Well, yeah. So Baker had a nice day. He's having a nice year. I think he might win Offensive Player of the Rookie.
I think he will. I mean, I've seen a lot. Who would be there to take
Saquon?
That's true.
Who's
But they're terrible, and like I hear
they are. But he's also like right now one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah,
maybe it's just because we live in Ohio, but I just hear so much more about Baker.
Yeah, so that's why I don't know either. Like I see, but for sure the media, national media, talk about Baker. He's the next LeBron in terms of every game they'll pick something just so they can talk about him.
Yeah,
you know, like it doesn't even in the off season. First Take or whatever show Skip Bayless is on, they'll pick something about LeBron just to talk about him every day.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I literally, like, you see that, like, he hurt his groin.
Yeah.
There was on First Take when I pulled up ESPN on my app at work on my lunch break, and the thing they were talking about was the Lakers could be in trouble with LeBron's groin injury. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
That's all that conversation should be.
Do you agree?
Yes.
What about you?
I think they might sure. be in trouble. Like, could you talk about that for 10 minutes?
No, because there's going to be some minute. Other person. There's going to be a Laker analyst and they're going to be talking about the rest of the team. And it's like, oh, it's like they might have a shot. Yeah. If,
Man, he is having a nice year.
Tom Baker?
Yeah. Basically 65% completions. Almost 3,500 yards and 24 touchdowns.
Like, did you see? I'm sure I saved the tweet. I mean, just since, you know, week 8, whenever we fight, it's like he's completing 71% of his passes. Mm-hmm. Even like the knockdowns. So I did save this tweet. Let me bring it up.
Like knockdowns of like pressures, knockdowns?
Pressures.
QB or like hits. Batted balls.
So QB hits allowed since weeks 9 to 16. Mm-hmm. The Cleveland Browns have 7. He's been hit 7 times in 7 weeks.
That's pretty.
The next lowest team is New England with 28.
But think about it. The time, the seconds between snapping the ball and throwing the ball for you guys was a big difference between everybody else too. Because someone tweeted that too after I saw that.
Like quick release.
Yeah.
The other thing too,
not even like, that. It's also
a really good offensive line, and he's pretty slippery.
He is pretty slippery. Our offensive line is pretty good. And half of it was, I think we do a lot more two tight end sets where we have to keep a tight end somewhere. So we just do a lot of that. But I think it's a lot of things. But Baker has been nice. And Baker essentially is the whole draft class. While there are other, you know, Antonio Callaway, I think will be a nice like second to third receiver. Like a speed receiver guy.
Right. It's just kind of neat since, like, you actually have a legit quarterback seeing some of these other guys who are talented.
Be good.
Like, Njoku looks like a physical specimen.
Yeah, he is a physical specimen.
Freak.
I don't know why he didn't. And he was on the radio, and he said his back locked up, and that's why he didn't score. Because he should have scored on that play. I don't know, the last, you know, 63-yard gain, whatever it was.
I was like, he's faster than that.
He is faster than that. He said his back locked up on him, but... So, and like even Rashard Higgins, who is essentially nobody, is now pretty good and now wants to be re-signed. I met him, no big deal. And
Hollywood.
So I think, you know, the only thing is if we get like a number one receiver, I would like if we had a DeAndre Hopkins or something like that, or AJ Green.
No.
Woo!
I don't want that. I don't want you guys.
I do want that.
That's dangerous because everyone else you have around him, like if Jarvis Landry's your number two,
that's where he would be so much better at.
Well,
like, he's not, you know.
I agree, but I'm just saying you're a pretty good situation. Like, you have Njoku. Oh, no.
Callaway in the
like,
slot.
Like, Chubb's on the rise, but I don't want to think about that. I don't like
it. Yeah, I think our line is pretty much set for another 3 years.
You got your window.
We have our window. Yep. It's set up. That's why I think we're going to make the mix move. We got Garrett at least for the next 4 years. So Garrett's
another,
having a nice
year. Thing I want to know, too, is I want to see if someone would ask Hugh now. Like, would he still... Like, I want to see if he's still so stubborn where if someone asks him, would you not have played Baker to start the year out?
So, I want to talk about you a little bit.
Go ahead. I mean, he's a punk.
So, he's... Okay, so, yeah, Baker did stare down at the end once we sealed the game. Stare him down.
What are your thoughts on that? Because this was the other fight I got into.
Yeah, so I'm
supposed to shut up.
Okay, I get how some people can say it's petty, and it probably is, and I think 5 years, Baker will be... He'll probably be like, yeah, whatever, that's small now.
Because he's doing so much worse, probably.
Maybe. But I also think it's part of Baker. It probably always will be. And I don't. The only drama so far that Baker's been in is because of Hugh Jackson. You know, it's the 2 weeks we played him. Everyone's like, well, he's being immature. Not really. He didn't want to.
The only reason why it's big is because, okay, Hugh was their coach, and then he got fired. Then he went to their rival, pretty much.
But like, that is not the issue. I don't think at all. And he might have said it, you know, in the press conference.
Well, I'm saying that's the reason why the media is
for me
blowing it up.
As far as Baker's concerned, that's just icing on the cake of like being frustrated.
I think there's stuff that Hugh did internally and that Baker's heard, and because he's thrown coaches under the bus, you know, even like Sashi Brown under the bus with the whole AJ McCarron thing that he tried to go behind the back of Sashi, and Sashi essentially fell on the sword. Thank God for the Browns and like somehow terminated that trade. And you know, even like with Pep Hamilton, there's some funkiness, and like Ray Farmer we had for a year and then fired him. So I just haven't heard many good things internally, and like always go to the media. So like there's some media members who say Hugh Jackson leaks everything to the media. Like Mike Silver, you know, is like his buddy, that whole leak a lot of things to Mike Silver. And then once we did fire him, you know, people said, oh, you know, he went to, you know, he had an opportunity and it's a, you know, it's a business and he can go to the Bengals and that's fine. But he also, within 2 weeks, was hired, and between those 2 weeks went on essentially every media outlet and said why he couldn't win with the Browns.
Yeah.
And as soon as he left, the Browns won. Like no coach, and everyone's like, you know, coaches will be hired somewhere else. Show me a head coach that within the same year is on the next sideline that you play two games against.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that doesn't happen. If he got hired next year, it doesn't matter. And it essentially doesn't matter this year, but he's on the sidelines the same year after essentially trashing the team and saying he couldn't win with them. And I would pick Carson Wentz, and I wanted to pick Deshaun Watson. I want to pick all these other quarterbacks.
Mahomes, they wouldn't let me do it.
Yeah. And I think that rubbed everyone there the wrong way. Because like even there was a show, like you don't see Mike McCarthy looking for a job. No. He can afford to not work for 4 months.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree 100%. And that was the other thing. I don't understand like that whole Hugh Jackson media tour, that thing that he did. That was so stupid because it looked like it came across, maybe not in his eyes, but he came across as so dumb.
As like, dumb as like he just wants to clean his brain. He's just worried about his rep. That's all he's worried about.
And I don't understand it. Like, it's so weird how I feel about him now versus how I felt before you guys got him. Because I was like, I want him to be our guy.
Yeah. It's not like he had to do that to get to a team. Like, he just went back to, like, his home or whatever. It was like, Hugh Jackson's like a dog that runs away from a house. Then he goes to a new home. Then finally realize, like, how bad of a dog he is. Then he just goes whimpering right back to the Bengals. And then
Brown's he knew. Like, oh, I mean, come on. The Bengals job was always there.
Yeah.
Like, and he probably wasn't going to get any other job outside the Bengals.
I would love to know how quickly phone calls were made after he was fired. Like, he went on that whole tour. I'm curious to when he knew that that job was.
He probably knew before he went on that tour.
My guess is it was probably no less than 3 days after he was fired.
I'd say that.
He's like, let me go on my media tour for a week, and then I'll...
let me clear my name.
Yeah,
and then I'll didn't happen. Facility.
But no, so I went on this... Me and my dad went on this huge rampage about the stare down.
Yeah.
Where my dad hates Baker.
Yeah.
Because before the season started, like, there was rumor of Baker maybe potentially falling to the Bengals, like, way, early last year, college football season. And he's like, if that happens, he's like, I won't watch him. Like, he hates Baker.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this, and like we're both like just yelling at the TV because Njoku has that like basically almost scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
And then they go back and they show like Baker basically just like skipped like 30 yards. Just
it was blatantly obvious because he would like turn to make sure, you know, nothing was wrong with the play, then turn back like twice he did that. Yeah. So he wanted to make sure he made eye contact.
My dad's just like, you know, and it, you know, I'm sure like I should be with my dad as far as like, what a punk. Yeah. Like, I can't believe he did this, but I'm just like, we as Bengals put ourselves, we allowed that situation to happen.
Yes.
Like, I don't blame Baker. Like, it's a 100% Bengals' fault that that was allowed to happen because we put ourselves in that situation.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
I'd agree. And, like, it's also, that stuff happens and is not, like, looked down. Like, in the NBA, there's stuff like that all the time. Like, someone makes a last-second shot, they'll stir either a player down, the sidelines down, the other bench down. Like, if Michael Jordan and Kobe did it, everyone's like, killer instinct, dude.
What a baller, man.
Dude, look at that dude. And like Baker does it to an old coach.
Respectful kid.
Like, this guy's just a punk, man. He's stuck in his ways. Like, he grabbed his crutch, which, I mean, has nothing to, I mean, so far, the only thing he's done wrong is two instances with Hugh. So I don't think it will carry
and
over.
It's our fault.
Yeah.
Because, hey, can he stare down Hugh if he's not on the team or where he should be, hiding in a press box somewhere with a veil covering his face that just says shame?
Yeah.
You can't stare him down from the press box. It's our fault. Like, he's got his hand in Marvin's back pocket, and, like, we allowed that to happen. And then the oh, my God, I just can't believe it. You can't write that stuff.
Yeah.
Can't write it. Like, Baker's got to be so happy. He's like, what great timing for me to be just, like, in your face, Hugh. And, like, and I kept telling my dad, I'm like, if I was Baker, I'd be upset, too, because here's this tool who basically gave me no shot out of the gate. I said, what in what situation in any team who drafts a quarterback, number one overall, and you've won one game in 2 years? You've won one game in two
now,
years.
Well, the funny thing is they gave Deshaun Kizer a chance right away the year before.
Now that's where I kind of give Hugh the benefit of the doubt.
Well, okay,
because there is one situation. Okay, I'll hear you.
Well, just hear me out. So my whole argument is, you've won one game in 2 years. You draft a quarterback number one overall. Number one overall.
Yeah.
Your franchise. You made that decision. And, like, when, like, camp starts, people are asking, like, he says there's no competition.
Yeah.
Like, you keep, just the fact that, like, he's basically telling Baker, I don't care what you do, you're not playing right away until I say so. So then that bothers
me. A lot of people say that bringing him to the office to, with him and Drew Stanton saying, hey, you've been made the backup quarterback, was like a slap in the face to him.
Yeah.
I didn't see, but a lot of people were like, well, that's a slap in the face to your number one pick. Basically bringing him on national TV, Hard Knocks, and saying, hey, you won this backup quarterback job.
Like, I can't help but feel like kind of like a Game of Thrones dynamic, like a power hierarchy where like everyone's talking about Baker and Hugh's got to be like, well, I'm the coach.
Yeah.
I sit in the big chair.
Well, you even saw some of that with that first interaction. And, you know, if you watch, you know, that first clip that came out, like the first HBO Hard Knocks clip was with Baker and Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson saying, hey, where's your schedule at? Or, you know, Tyrod was here at
6 a.m. Where are you?
Like, even that was a little awkward to watch a second time. And I don't know if it's because they never were on the same page. Baker was just like, it's the first day of camp. Either, you know, he's like, yeah, he has his own schedule. I got my schedule. And it's just
and I'm better.
Yeah, he's like, I don't need to come in at 5.
I can come in at 6:30.
Yeah.
And I'll be better than
him. But yeah. And so my only thing with Baker not starting is I think our situation was Hugh essentially coaching for a job, getting burned last year, starting rookie. And I know Deshaun was a mid-second round pick who might not have been that good or that high. And we had number one pick, but it's like, do we got to win some games? And I don't know if I want to put my trust.
It was so weird. Like, there was no winning.
But even if
there's no, I feel like you got to give him a shot where Hugh didn't lose his job.
No.
Because if he just stayed with you
guys. Which is so stupid. Like, why?
That's what I'm saying. If he just stayed with you guys all year and, like, let's say everything plays out exactly the same way it does, I still don't know if he keeps his job.
I don't know either.
It's hard to say. I just feel like it was weird.
The way I look at it, if you guys only would have won three games, then Hugh might have. Then you could maybe talk. But like after you,
we were on that. We were like 2 and 6-1 or something like that.
After you leave, then all of a sudden they're winning. Then, like, just shut up.
Well, yeah. It's just like, it's so blatantly obvious now. Like, that's why it's so funny now.
Yeah.
Like, it's so blatantly obvious the talent you guys have. And, like,
how and not even that. It's also he didn't give Nick Chubb carries. Nick Chubb had that game against Oakland where he went three carries for 150 yards. Yeah. Yeah. And like, yeah, we'll get more carries. The next game was like 2-3 carries. And it's like, why aren't we playing this guy? And then John Dorsey's like, dude, I'm going to trade. The only way to get him to play more is if I trade Carlos Hyde.
They get rid of Carlos Hyde for a fifth round pick,
which looks good now.
You signed Duke to a contract at the beginning of the year. Like, you have this perfect, like, the NFL has always been like.
Who wasn't also being used that way?
Yeah, he had like this Thunder Lightning thing, like a perfect Thunder Lightning situation with Chubb and Duke. And now that you're utilizing it the way you should, like, wow, some shock, surprise, surprise. It works pretty well.
Yeah.
So we've been rambling for a while, and we'll go to break here real quick and talk about some more football when we get back.
As we all start the new year, Fort Recovery Insurance Agency and Ohio Mutual Insurance Group want to remind you that every year things change. Now is the time to make sure you're covered for the things that changed last year and might change this year. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency wants to help you review your current coverages and make sure you're protected. Join us in the fort, where we can protect you too. We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Hello, I'm Kenny Cadeau from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. For a tractor with big chore versatility and power, ask us at K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery about the 140 to 165 horsepower T7 series tractors from New Holland. They're the all-around workhorse you need for loading, haymaking, mixing feed, and spreading manure. They offer choice of transmissions and unmatched versatility to power implements on front or back. Plus, you work your best in the quiet comfort of a Horizon cab. See us at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today.
Friends of the Fort Recovery Library would like to invite the public to view the 14th annual Fort Festival of Trees December 3rd through December 29th, 2018. Each year, businesses, organizations, and individuals decorate Christmas trees or wreaths to be displayed at the library. Listening to Christmas music while viewing the trees, visitors vote for their favorite entry to see who will win the People's Choice Award. The entry with the most votes wins the title of People's Choice Award, and the name gets engraved on a plaque that remains at the library. This beloved family tradition is enjoyed by patrons of all ages. Stop by to see our beautiful display beginning December 3rd during regular library hours.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Casserole Thursday, and on Friday you can choose from our soup and salad bar or our famous half-pound hand-patted cheeseburger. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented with our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
And we're back to the practice squad, and we're going to...
Squad?
Scramble over to our Titans corner. Let Philly chit-chat a little bit about his potentially playoff-bound Tennessee Titans.
So, basically, the last three games, we'll go back to the Thursday night game against the Jaguars. It's been all Derrick Henry. That's been our offense, pretty much.
Hopefully that game like woke him up and he was like, hey, I can be good.
Actually, it was, I read after that game, there was a lot of articles coming out. Eddie George came over there and talked to him and pretty much told him, you're 6'3", 250 pounds.
Act like it.
Yeah. So, like.
Why does he need somebody to tell him
that? I don't know. Just because I just think maybe he kind of lost his way.
He has like, mirrors in his house?
He didn't see that picture of him standing next to Deion Lewis the preseason?
No, I really don't know why, but I mean, it couldn't happen at a better.
Maybe them signing Deion Lewis threw his funk out.
It could have been. I mean, I think he was looking to be the main back, then they bring in Deion Lewis for a 5-year for, you know, like $30 million or whatever, so he's like, oh, like what are they? And they were actually trade deadline, they were actually shopping with him, like see if
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, they were. So it was kind of weird. And at the time, I was like, he hasn't done nothing. Like, because it wasn't just maybe him. It was, I don't know, just there's a lot of runs where I seen in the beginning of the year where he would just get hit and he would just stop. Like his legs would just stop and like he would just fall down or whatever. And now he gets hit, then like he's still moving and like in he's getting should be a 2 yard gain and he's pushing it to a 5 yard gain. So like, yeah, I was like, I'm kind of glad that Eddie did, you know, talk to him.
Yeah.
And it just I'll throw some stats out here. The last three games, he's rushed for 492 yards and he's had 7 TDs. So
it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. I know the Jacksonville game was big during that, but like then yeah,
he's still been.
Then we went to
a nice run.
We went to New York and we faced the Giants and it was a rainy game or whatever. And like we just stuck with it. I think he got the ball like 33 times and he ran for 170 with 2 touchdowns. So that's been kind of our go ahead. And we try to do that on the Saturday game against the Redskins. And he was doing really good. Then Mariota got hurt. Then after that, then they're just kind of stacking the box and they knew we were going to run because Blaine Gabbert was our quarterback. But then he stepped up with the play action and everything like that. So, I mean, the last two games, the Giants game was a shutout. It was 17-0, so that was big. But I think the biggest thing was our defense. The last 12 quarters that our defense has played, we only gave up 1 touchdown. So we've shown glimpses earlier this year about how good our defense was. And all of a sudden we played like, you know, we had a top tier quarterback like Andrew Luck come.
Right.
And he just kind of tortures us or whatever. So it is what it is. But I mean, like, I feel like they know what we need to do. And it's kind of like the mentality is like, it's, you know, do or die. And it's been like that for the last 3 weeks. And our team, you know, the Titans have really shown that, you know, they can do it. And our scheduling has helped out too. I mean, that was another helpful scenario or whatever for us.
I'm just looking at the rushing leaders for this year, and he snuck into the top 10.
Yeah, he needs 34 yards, and he'll be a 1,000-yard rusher this year. So, which is crazy, like looking back at it, like the first 12 weeks, you know, I think the most yards he had in one game was like maybe like 58, something like that.
He's in the top 10 and he's got the most touchdowns.
Yeah, he's got 12 TDs over the year.
Like Todd Gurley's got 17. He's like tied for second in touchdowns now.
Yeah.
So what's, if you win on Sunday, you're in.
If we win, we're in.
Control your own destiny.
And if you lose, is there still any chance you get in?
No, because the Colts will take over us. So
I think it's kind of neat because earlier in the year when you were complaining about you guys have never beat Andrew Luck the first time you played I was looking at your guys' schedule and you guys play the Colts last. I said, wouldn't it be kind of funny if your entire season
and that's what I one game? And that's what I said was like, I want, because we were talking before the Jaguars game.
Yeah.
And I said, we got the Jaguars and it was like, I feel good about that because how they've been playing. Then I was like, I'm scared about the Giants game. Then I said, then our last two games are home. And I was like, I hope we beat the Redskins. And I want you know, our destiny be decided on the last game at home against Andrew Luck and the Colts. And yeah, so like this. So, and then
you're going to get in. You want to be like,
then it got flexed.
You do it that way.
Yeah. Then we got flexed to Sunday night football.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
So like it's, I don't know what me personally, I'm going to be wired up all day because like there's other inflammations. Like if Jaguars beat the Texans and we win, we're AFC South champions. So we can win the division still.
Really?
Then if the Browns beat
the Ravens,
New York beats the Patriots, then Jacksonville beats the Texans, then we're the number 2 seed.
Wow, that's
so like that's the far-fetched like thing that could happen. Then the second thing is us winning the division, which that would be awesome in my mind. then the easiest thing is we just got to win. Especially if we win the game, we're in. We're the sixth seed. The
Houston Texans have been playing.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
So hopefully the Jaguars can, you know, pull something out. And
that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. Because
like Bortles is starting.
Yep.
Yeah, because Kessler sucks.
So, like, Sunday, just like all day, I'm going to be watching those three games to see what happened. You know, I'm going to be tied to the Jacksonville Texans game more.
Yeah.
But it would be cool if Cleveland would beat, you know, the Ravens, then the Jets
would be
could,
cool.
If the Jets could upset the Patriots.
There's only like a handful of those, like one or two spots in each division that are already locked up, right? Like, there's still a lot to be.
AFC?
A lot can happen yet. There's only last week.
Yeah, AFC, there's no divisional winners yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of seeding.
There's two teams that locked a playoff spot.
There's still a lot of teams that, like, because, like, if we beat Pittsburgh, they don't get in.
Yeah, I think the only two that I've heard about is the Indy Titans game.
That's when
they get in. The Steelers and Ravens game.
The seeding's
what
all.
What happens if both of us beat them? Like, if you guys beat Baltimore and we beat Pittsburgh?
I think.
Who wins the division then? God,
the world explodes.
It would be the Ravens.
Probably the Ravens are up now, right?
Yeah.
The Ravens are in a division lead spot. The Chiefs and the Chargers have a playoff spot,
mm-hmm.
but they have the same record. So if the Chiefs lose.
That's crazy.
And the Chargers win, they get the number one seed. Then the Chiefs drop down to the five seed. Then the Patriots and the Texans got the same record, and they're playing off of the number two seed. Who's going to get that? Then you have the Ravens, which will be the four seed right now, and they got to win to get in. And if they lose in Steelers, so they're, you know, playing. Then the Titans got to win to get the sixth seed. But they could also jump to the two seed in so the AFC side only has two teams that got a playoff berth. But the seeding, no one has the top. Because it all depends with the Chargers and the Chiefs.
If the Chargers won, they would have.
If the Chargers would have won last week, then yeah, they would have been the number one seed.
Isn't that crazy to think, especially with how well Kansas City's been playing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
San Diego's been playing almost just as good.
I know. Yeah. But
now, the season started, I
just don't think about San Diego.
Now on the AFC side,
LA.
Now the AFC side is just for the number six seed. It's between the Vikings win, they're in. If they lose and the Eagles win, then the Eagles take the sixth seed. That's about it.
As much.
Yeah, because the Saints got the number one seed. Then if the Rams got two, then I don't know who's three or four, but
Seattle's in?
Yeah.
Seattle's in.
They're the fifth seed. They're wild card.
I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Since the Bengals are essentially done, I've been focusing a lot on the Pacers because they've been playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I love so much about football is you can go into the season, when we did our Super Bowl picks, God, we were so
No one was close.
I picked the Rams. That's the only thing. And I picked Jacksonville. And Jacksonville's terrible.
Yeah.
But you could pick a Super Bowl matchup when you start the season. And you could, those two teams might not even make the playoffs. And when it comes to the NBA,
the Vikings.
You got, 90% chance of
which team's
going to be in the finals.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
And I think the Patriots are kind of coming to an end here. I think this might be
their last year. 6 or something? That's not good for them.
They're 10. They got 10 wins.
Gronk seems to be on the down.
Yeah.
Down slope.
Little Tommy boys looking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Josh Gordon happened. I don't think we discussed that yet.
I like how, before the news breaks, he comes out. He's like, hey, I'm stepping away from football. I'd like to get my stuff together.
Yeah. No, and then it comes out you got caught again, pretty much.
And, it was, I didn't see all the stuff, but they said that it was more than marijuana and alcohol.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. You feel kind of bad for the dude, but also you kind of don't.
No.
Because they hired a security team. Did you read that? They hired a security team to follow him around. So he wouldn't screw up.
Well, that's a bad security team.
And during their bye week, he slipped them. That's when this happened. What I'm saying is I don't want to judge anyone who's got any kind of addictions or whatever, but for a guy who's a million times came out and said, I just need to get my mind right and try and get my stuff right, and then he's like, all right, it's the bye week, all right, there's the two cars tailing me, I gotta slip them and then I can go do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for that guy.
Nah. Yeah, I mean, he's had a lot of opportunity, more than a lot of other people.
He had a well enough opportunities for just the Browns, and he screwed that up real early.
Dude,
and
even like, if he could fool everybody for 1 year, he would have signed a pretty big contract. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not as big as it even could have been if he never screwed up.
Yeah.
But he still could have signed a multi-year, multi-million dollar contract.
Like, that dude had, like, he was a Calvin Johnson
body. He had life right here. And then, like, it was right in front of his face. Like, all he had to do is just be himself. Well, then that's the thing. He was himself. And
well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you got to decide. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it's like, but I'm just saying.
But I can say it's just, you know, at the point when it's the Browns trained him, it was just like, I'm just glad we don't have to worry about it. And I'm so glad it's not our problem.
It's got
to
be kind of fulfilling for Browns fans seeing this happen to him on a different team. You're like, yeah. So you're like,
well, I mean, you don't like seeing,
you don't like seeing it, but. Like,
so doesn't that seem like forever ago that he caught a touchdown pass for you guys this year?
Yeah.
Like, you guys,
I remember like being in New Orleans riding in, you know, an Uber somewhere, and Pork was like, hey, Josh Gordon didn't make the trip. He's to his hamstrings. So I was like, oh, shoot. And then like the next day was like, oh, actually, you know, he did something stupid and now we're suspending him or we're going to cut him.
Yeah.
And then the 5 hours later, they're like, hey, we're going to trade him. And it's just like, everyone's like devastated. And at that point, it's like, oh, maybe our year's going to
keep an eye on that pick. What was the fifth round pick?
Fifth round pick.
They'll talk about it when
that's the thing. Pick comes like, I remember hearing some Browns, it was like a fifth round. That's all we gave away from them. And like a lot of people are like, why do we get rid of them? But then
you
could
have cut them for nothing.
Then now you guys are like, now you guys are like, well, yeah.
Sometimes those fifth round picks pan out. Like, we traded Chad Johnson to New England for a fifth round pick, and ended up being Marvin Jones.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, we need some receivers. We got like Jannard Avery this year, who's our outside linebacker, who does pretty. Who's will probably be a starter next year, in the fifth round this year. So yeah, I think sixth and seventh round is when you start picking players that you scouted from small schools, and it's kind of you start reaching. But I think everything above the fifth round is kind of still decent, like top 200 players that are good. So
well, what there's always that stat they'll show during the playoffs, like what 30 to 40% of your roster is made up of third to fifth round picks, stuff like that.
So good luck, I guess, on Sunday, Philly.
Yeah, I'm excited for like week 17, even though the Bengals don't have anything to play for. But if we can play spoilers to Pittsburgh, like that's a win for me for the entire season.
Yeah,
if we can knock them out of the playoffs, because I hate them with everything that.
So yeah, and so between this weekend, you know, coming up, you got all the bowl games. So like, it's
a lot of football.
And especially for me, you know, it's a big game on Sunday night. So like, this whole weekend's just going to be mainly just pertaining around football, just watching football. So
as far as next week goes, finale,
a big finale. Yeah. So I think next week we'll have a huge party. Next week will be our finale next Thursday. We'll kind of recap the year. And that will be our last show for a while. I think maybe we'll do a draft. Pre-draft, post-draft show. And then start back up in the preseason.
So then Thursday next week.
Thursday next week.
Yep.
Season finale of the Practice Squad. So check us out next Thursday for the season finale. I am your temporary host, covering for David Schmidt, Craig Garman, and for Jordan Stogler and Troy Metzger. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. See you guys.